Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2 for, as he deems it, and I agree, the best 15 minutes of radio every week. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I did not call it the best 15 minutes in radio every week. I simply call it a programming, appointment programming. And I'm the only thing that makes your show really worth listening.
Yes, thank you.
We know that.
Thank you very much. We appreciate you being with us here on this Monday morning. Chiefs get it done last night, Corey, 38-35, Super Bowl number two for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and company. What did you think of that one last night?
A surprise, great game, number one, and that's all you can really ask for. But here's the deal to me. Patrick Mahomes wins the MVP, throwing for like 187 yards, and three touchdowns, and he was good, but the Chiefs' offensive line was the MVP of that game, and they should have won it. I don't know if he got sacked more than once. They ran the ball effectively, and they protected him against a team that is excellent at getting to the quarterback, and that's why they won the game. So, kudos to that Chiefs' offensive line, which I did not think was superior to the Eagles' offensive line, but it was in this game.
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, two games all year the Eagles didn't have a sack. I think the other one was that Dallas game, which at that point didn't even really matter to them, right? So, that was some winning up front that I didn't anticipate. And then, of course, on the other side, I thought, first of all, I don't know what you thought. We talked earlier about this, but I thought Jalen Hurts was incredible, actually, in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be incredible in a loss and – too bad for him, but I thought he was fantastic. And really, what they punted one time, which was a pretty key point in that game. Without Brett Kern, go back to their starter. That's a huge play in the game. But what about the call late? I didn't like it. I don't think it was worth calling. What did you think?
I think we're nitpicking. I mean, look, that play comes up 100 times a game, and sometimes it's called and sometimes it's not. That's not why the Eagles lost the game. The Eagles lost the game because the Chiefs had the ball four times in the second half and scored in every one of them. The Chiefs won the game because the Eagles couldn't sack Mahomes. I mean, the Chiefs won the game because the Eagles settled for field goals in the second half. That's why they won the game, not because of a play where the guy did put his hands on the receiver and you can be called for a hold. Would you like the players to decide the game at the end? Sure. But that to me was not at all why the game was decided.
See, now you've just tapped into one of my previous rants. I agree with you. I'm not saying it's why, but I can still be pissed about the call. Can I not?
Can those things be true together? Sure they can, but that's not one to be that upset about. Like, if you want to be that upset about the Eagles, or who was the Saints and Vikings call, sure, go right ahead. But that one, you can be miffed. I wish they wouldn't call that. But you go, I can't believe – the guy put his hands on him. He wrapped his hand around his waist. He made contact. And if you're going to play DB physically, you're going to get called for that sometimes. It's just plain and simple.
I have two questions for you, Corey. Number one, does – at age 27, what does this second Super Bowl ring do for Patrick Mahomes and the conversation around him as he moves forward? And number two, is Travis Kelce the greatest tight end of all time?
Well, look, if Mahomes walks away today, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I think last night cements – look, I think Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, and Pat Mahomes were already Hall of Famers, likely, but it cements it for all three of them. They're all going to Canton one day. And it takes Mahomes to the top of the list because he won without the cheetah, and he won on a bad leg. Made a big play late on a bad leg. So, he's proved his toughness. He's proved he can win. And look, I know Travis Kelce is phenomenal. You could argue that Jalen Hurts had superior skill weapons around him to Patrick Mahomes. I think, in fact, most people would say he did. So it elevates Mahomes' status in that regard and doing it with less than some. And as far as Kelce goes, I think if you start the conversation, there are some other great ones, and there are different eras, that make it a little different. Like, you know, you wonder how many yards and catches Kellen Winslow would have today. He was really, really good. You know, go back and look at Mike Ditka's numbers when he came into the league. He was really, really, really good. But, you know, when you look at the sustained success, and I think they brought it up during the broadcast last night, how is he open? I mean, you know he's the number one option for Mahomes, and somehow he's open. And his ability to make plays with the ball after he catches it, too. And more tight ends are like that. But he's good. And his sustainability as well. You know, he doesn't miss a lot of games. So I think, you know, historically he's definitely, you know, top two or three. And that's going to depend on the age of the person you're talking to, the fan bias of the one you're talking to. But you'd have a hard time convincing me there's somebody better than Travis Kelce. I mean, the guy's money.
I can't believe you just brought up Ditka. Mini Ditka! No, I know.
Before Ditka was a coach, I mean, go back and look up his stats. I mean, it's unbelievable when you think about a tight end in a 12-game season. I believe he had 1,000 yards.
Ditka, baby.
Ditka. No, yeah, that he is not discussed. Kellen Winslow is someone I brought up earlier too. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
Antonio Gonzalez in the modern era, incredible.
Antonio Gates was amazing.
Yep.
But yeah, Tony Gonzalez, I think a lot of people could make a claim at that. He was excellent for a really long time.
Kind of changed the position. So I think we could all agree, the Chiefs. I mean, they proved this year. Tyreek Hill leaves, doesn't matter. Patrick Mahomes adjusts his game. To me, I put him on his own tier. That's what I would do in this league right now. I think it's him, and then there's some guys right behind him. But regardless, I think we'd all agree the Chiefs, as long as he's quarterback, and I think also Andy Reid is the coach. Because like you mentioned those Kelce plays and how he gets open. I think that also clearly schooled the Eagles in the red zone twice, right? I mean, they totally took advantage of their overemphasis. Yeah.
Sky Moore, holy cow!
Yeah.
I think I could have completed that to him left-handed.
Western Michigan Bronco legend, by the way. But do you believe the Eagles are also here to stay with that team?
Well, it depends on how well they can keep that team together. I don't know what their cap situation is. You know, Howie Roseman brought it up. You know, you can do a lot when you have a rookie quarterback young quarterback on his rookie deal. They're going to have to pay Jalen Hurts. It's what happened to the Chiefs. I mean, that's what makes the Chiefs so impressive, is they paid Mahomes, had and cut four offensive line starters, and were able to rebuild their offensive line. They traded away Tyreek Hill, the most explosive player in the game, so that they could pay Mahomes, and have still been able to get it done. And that will be the next challenge for the Philadelphia Eagles. They're going to have to pay Jalen Hurts, and it's going to cost upwards of $40 million a year, if not more. And when they do that, how much will be left on their roster? That remains to be seen. They've also got some older players on their roster, especially on defense, Fletcher Cox and Ndamukong Suh, even Hassan Reddick. You know, some of these guys are not really young. Brandon Graham was in the same rookie class as Derek Morgan, and he's been retired for like 5 years. So they've got some age, and they're going to have some cap issues, and we'll see how skillfully they can navigate that. But, you know, Jalen Hurts has clearly proven that if you can protect him with a good offensive line and put some weapons around him, he is an elite player for sure.
So the cap does exist? Okay. I got to keep this straight. Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Don't get me started either.
All right, Corey, last thing for you here. First off, this is the first time we've had you on since the Titans hired Tim Kelly as the OC.
Oh, yeah.
Your reaction to that? And now that the offseason is officially here, we see the Chiefs have just won it again. The Titans are going to have to go through them, among many other teams in the AFC, if they're ultimately going to get to where they want to go. What do you make of the hire of Tim Kelly and the challenge now facing the Titans as the NFL offseason officially begins today?
Well, it's not surprising at all, because Mike Vrabel wants to do what Mike Vrabel wants to do. And, you know, that is not going to change because they struggled this season, okay? Did Mike Vrabel change when they struggled defensively, when they had, like, a epically bad third-down defense? No, they changed the players. He believed in what he believed in. And look, I will always believe that the Jimmys and Joes outweigh the X's and the O's. And the Titans are going to change their players on offense to what they believe will be more successful players. And I think, you know, who's on the offensive line to me is more important than who's calling the plays. There's no question about that. And because they're going to play the way that they play. And I think, you know, along those lines as well, Jason Hodling is probably a more important hire than Tim Kelly at this point, you know, as far as getting that offensive line put together. So, you know, not surprising. I think maybe a little bit overblown by fans. And then the last thing I'll say on that is everybody was disappointed because the hire took so long. I don't know how long the hire actually took. They always release their coaching moves in one big swath. So that could have been done weeks ago. And then they just released it with all the other ones. It's not like Vrabel sat down on Tuesday morning and hammered out deals in 10 different, you know, dudes.
Good point. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on what Corey Curtis had to say. Corey, appreciate you taking time to be with us. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right. There's only really one thought. Those tweets should be simple. Brilliance.
Yes, just total brilliance. Each and every Monday morning from 8 to 8:15.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Corey. We appreciate it. Corey Curtis from News 2 with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans. We'll get back into the Super Bowl last night, from last night as well. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Preds fans, don't miss Wednesday night's Smashville live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue starting at 6 o'clock. See your Predator star players up close, and plus you have your chance to get autographs and pictures as well. Preds player guests will be this Wednesday night will be Alex Carrier and Jeremy Lozon, so looking forward to that. Smashville Live brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, and Superbook Sports. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Kansas City gets it done last night. They win 38-35 in Super Bowl 57 against the Philadelphia Eagles. Patrick Mahomes captures his second MVP trophy in the Super Bowl, his second title, and earlier last week captured his second league MVP trophy as well. So 27 years old. You're talking about a two-time Super Bowl champion, a two-time Super Bowl MVP, a two-time league MVP, and just kind of feels like he's just getting started. Been to five consecutive AFC title games. Guy's pretty good, and he captures his second Super Bowl title last night. And to Corey's point in the last segment, I mean, the numbers aren't going to blow you away from what Mahomes did last night, but he did throw three touchdown passes. That offense in the second half, Joe, I thought, number one, he made some big plays in that game, both throwing the ball, but with his feet as well. And Andy Reid put on a coaching clinic in the second half of that game. And the Chiefs' offense could not be stopped, and they get it done 38-35. We'll get into the call coming up here in just a few minutes that everybody's talking about today. But overall, what did you make of the Super Bowl last night? Kansas City's second Super Bowl in the past 5 years.
Yeah, out-coach is used too often. I think it's definitely appropriate here. The Chiefs just completely – I mean, look – football games are situational football. There's a reason that coaches emphasize it so much, and particularly, you know, red zone stops, red zone conversions, you know, touchdowns instead of field goals. I mean, the Chiefs just absolutely schooled the Eagles because of the emphasis on stopping Travis Kelce. But, I mean, you can't, you know, if you know a team's, like, motion rules like that, and then you – victimize them once, it's like, oh man, you can't let that happen. But you cannot let it happen twice. I mean, those are gimmies for Patrick Mahomes. So that's one thing. Another thing is with Mahomes, I do think this is setting the stage for way down the road when you're old like me, maybe. We'll be on here talking about who's the GOAT. Who is the GOAT? Is it actually Mahomes?
Oh, we'll be fired long before then.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, I could probably make that happen today if you want.
Well, maybe.
And also, I thought Jalen Hurts was incredible last night. Of all the, you know, it's so unfortunate. If he doesn't have that one fumble early, I don't know that we have a good game. I mean, maybe, because the Chiefs got rolling on offense and they, like, the Eagles had nothing to do. But at that point, the Eagles had all the momentum, and I was like, they're about to drive just right down the field and get another touchdown on him. And he drops the ball, and it's a return, and that totally changed the game.
It could have been 24-7 at the half. I mean, you never know exactly how it's going to play out, but, right. I mean, Kansas City got the one touchdown on their opening drive, and that was the only thing they had offensively in the first half. Now, they barely had the ball, too, and Philadelphia had the ball for most of the first half.
Exactly.
But, I mean, if they don't fumble that ball and it's a scoop and score, I mean, Kansas City may be walking out of there with 7 points in the first half.
Yep.
It's a huge play in the game.
But those plays are made. You know, it's one, the one mistake Hurts made. I thought he was just dropping in the bucket. I mean, the touchdown pass to A.J. Brown, but just a lot of other passes and big-time plays by him. Then you have the three rushing touchdowns. That's the most unstoppable short yardage situation I've ever seen, what they have. It doesn't matter. Chris Jones comes over the top, blows it up. We'll just keep pushing you backward. Who cares?
Well, Jalen Hurts can squat like 690 pounds or whatever it is. Yeah. So he just gets low and they push him. And there he goes.
Yeah. Now they're, I think they were the best team in the NFL this year and probably should have been champions, but got to give props to the Chiefs. And Corey brings up, it's such a great pet peeve of mine. Such a just got me right in the heart there, Corey. Because, again, I'm not saying that's why the Chiefs won. That's why the Eagles lost. But can we not complain about a bad call? Because it was a bad call, in my opinion. I mean, look, it's a judgment call. So, yes, I think he was trying to say he was talking about Saints-Rams. He said Vikings, but yeah, I think he meant Saints. Of course, there's a difference, right? There's no doubt there's a difference. That's like an egregious, how could you possibly do that? Like,
That did cost them one the game.
Yeah. This didn't. The Chiefs were going to be ahead 38-35. The Eagles were going to have about a minute and two timeouts. And so, yeah, some of it is like just probably bitterness that we didn't get that finish. But I hate the call. And I hate the call. I'll hate that call in the first quarter of week one next year if it happens too. In fact, I can't wait for the next football game just so I can see that call made so I can bitch about it on Twitter.
Well, and the bottom line is, I mean, we've been talking about NFL officiating for 2 weeks heading into this game and where it's at. I mean, look, how many conspiracy theory texts did we get the day after the title game between the Bengals and the Chiefs? I mean, officiating has been a sore subject. I mean, Roger Goodell got up on the stage like 4 days ago and talked about how officiating is in the best spot it's ever been in the history of the league. And what is everybody talking about today, in addition to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and all that stuff? They're talking about officiating, and they're talking about the call.
Right. So, look, I'm talking about it while not taking anything away from the Chiefs. They are champions. They earned it. Good for them. Enjoy the parade. You earned it. I just don't like the call. And it sucks that we have to talk about it and that we were robbed of the finish that we could have had and that today it takes up any attention, but there's a reason for it because, I mean, Corey can say it was nitpicking, but the call was nitpicking. I mean, they're replaying it behind you. I still can't believe it when I watch it. I can't believe it. I mean, he had his hand on his back. And again, holding is not PI, so uncatchable doesn't matter, but he had his hand on his back. Right. This happens every play.
Gene on the text line says, watching those games, I was amazed at the offensive creativity and passing concepts. I'm not used to that following our Titans with two crying laughing emoji faces. This is from Gene on the text line. I will say some of the red zones, they did the ring around the rosy last night again too.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Yeah.
But I was rooting for it.
Sail it out of the end zone.
Just had to sail it away. But Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, that combination with Patrick Mahomes, they get some creative stuff going in the red zone. It was fun to watch.
They do. And the Eagles, I mean, I love the Eagles offense.
For sure.
I love what they do. The Titans looked a lot more creative when they had A.J. Brown. But, yeah, you know.
By the way.
I hear you.
He looked pretty good last night. 6 catches, 96 yards, a touchdown. The one problem I have about the game as a whole yesterday, and I'm thinking about it because I can remember a specific play where A.J. got the ball and slipped. The field was terrible. Yesterday, it was unbelievable. It was like, this is the Super Bowl. This is the most famous one-day sporting event in the world.
Yeah, and it's the most watched thing on television every year in the world.
In the world. And you guys can't put together a field where players can run around on? I mean, it was a grass field that apparently, I saw a report yesterday, they spent $800,000 on, getting this thing ready. And they've been growing the sod for 2 years. And they, you know, they take it out of there and they put it in the sunlight. Then they roll that sucker back in there and it's ready to go. And you painted that thing up and down where people are sliding all over the place left and right. The field was terrible. Players were talking about it on both sides after the game. They were talking about, like, they were having conversations between players on the Chiefs and the Eagles about how bad the field was in the game, and people were falling down left and right. Somebody described it as playing on a water park. That's what you want for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so you got the two number one seeds, you know, the dream matchup in the Super Bowl, top two guys for MVP, all these great storylines, 38-35 game, and we're talking about officials and the fact that they couldn't get footing on the field.
Yeah.
Well, did you guys hear the broadcast? They said that Jalen Hurts had to switch his cleats to have like a longer spike, probably because he was slipping all over the place.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. The Super Bowl, man.
It's amazing.
It's like you're playing out here at, you know, Hendersonville High School or something. They got, by the way, Hendersonville feels great. Played on it.
Yeah, easy there.
But I'm just saying, like, this is the Super Bowl, and we can't get a playing surface that's up to par. It's unbelievable to me.
It's crazy. So is it the painting of the field? Is that what they?
Well, there's a lot of painting. I don't know how much that had to do with it or not.
Because they were also replacing all kinds of divots.
Yeah.
So it looked like it was just torn up. Like I'm looking at this terrible replay of the terrible call.
What a waste of $800,000.
And look at that field. It is torn. Yeah.
Brutal.
So I don't know. I thought that the Titans should try to go to that system when at their new stadium. You know, obviously they're not doing. They're changing from grass at Nissan, but if it's like that, maybe not.
615-737-1025. We got a lot more of your thoughts to get to on Super Bowl 57. We will do that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Monday morning. Recapping Super Bowl 57, Kansas City wins 38-35. They did not score 57 last night. They did score 38.
That is a correct number, though, for this. It was the Super Bowl 57.
It was Super Bowl 57. There you go. 615-737-1025. Got a lot of thoughts on the call. Some people say bad call. Hate to see the game end that way. Have others on the text line saying, I mean, Bradbury said after the game he held him. Mike Pereira said on the broadcast he held him. It was a holding call, and they're cool with it. Kind of split down the middle so far on the text line today would be how I describe it.
Yeah, we're just not going to agree. If you think that, if you like that call, I mean, again, here it is. There it is. There's the replay again right behind you. Yep. If you think that was a good call, like, you and I are just not going to agree. So we just keep going around and around on it.
What if it happened at the end of the first half? Do you think you'd still be as mad? Or well, it's just kind of the way.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be as mad because, like, calls happening again. Like, I mean, that was the end of the game. So, of course.
Nobody would be talking about it.
You're right. It's going to be magnifying because. But no, I 100%. If that call is made then, in that moment, I'm like, no, come on. It's a defense, it's a DB being a little bit handsy. And, yeah, I know someone sent me on Twitter, they sent me, like, a different angle of, like, look, he does have the jersey. It's like, you know, okay.
I will say, we had somebody say that to the Mike Pereira stuff, I've never been less impressed with an officials analyst than I was last night with Mike Pereira. I mean, it was useless having him on the broadcast last night.
Well,
totally useless.
Yeah, and the text line, I mean, he was right on the overturn on the – you know, on the fumble, the incompletion. But the text line bringing up Pereira, remember, Pereira's like, well, you know, Greg, I think we're going to see a hold. And then they showed the replay, and it was like, nope. And then Pereira didn't say anything after that because there was no hold. And like, I mean, Greg Olsen immediately called it out as a crap call, and he was right. So good on Greg Olsen, who I thought was good, by the way.
Yeah.
And now he's gonna Brady will slide right
next
in
year. Next time Fox has Super Bowl, Brady be in there just waving. Hey, guys, what's going on? It's good to be here.
Except the thing is, by the time it comes all the way back around to Fox having the Super Bowl, Brady will have gone the Jason Witten route, and he'll, like, not be good, and then he'll go back
the quarterback in the Houston Texans.
Yeah, exactly. So, actually, Greg Olsen, I bet you he gets the next Super Bowl for Fox. He was good, though. I think he's good.
I think so, too. A.J. Brown, 6 catches, 96 yards last night and a touchdown. Look, I think I agree with you. First off, Jalen Hurts I thought was really good last night. I don't think this team is going anywhere. I think they're going to be really good as they move forward here. And they kind of let one get away from them last night. The difference in the game to me, I mean, we could talk about Mahomes. He was great, especially in the second half. Kelce came up with some big plays. Andy Reid was the difference in the game. And that team and that offense, I get it. You've got the best quarterback in the league in Mahomes. You've got maybe the best tight end of all time in Travis Kelce. So I understand that. You've got a lot of players that you're working with. But the creativity and the different ways that they can get people open, it's just astounding to me how successful they continue to be churning out that offense on a year-by-year basis. And they did it this year without Tyreek Hill. I mean, we talked about it heading into the season. You know, it seems laughable now. There were some people asking the question before the season, could the Kansas City Chiefs be the fourth best team in the AFC West? Yeah. Tyreek Hill's gone. You've got Russell Wilson coming in Denver. We know how all that played out. But I'm just saying, like, doing this without Tyreek Hill, taking your best receiving option away, and Mahomes going out there and winning another Super Bowl, that's a pretty big deal for his long-term legacies. We try to forecast where he goes from here.
Yeah, no doubt. But also, you know, to your point on coaching, Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy, and Andy Reid made sure to credit him a few times afterward. Did Andy Reid get asked directly last night if he's retiring, by the way? Because Jay Glazer had a report.
He said in the post game, if they'll have him back, he's coming back.
Oh. So. Okay. Well, then never mind.
I think they're going to have him back.
Yeah, I think so. But they also ran the ball effectively last night.
They did.
And that's a huge part of this. You know, for one thing, the Eagles were grinding up so much clock. I mean, you've got to be able to, like keep your defense off the field and put some plays together. And I thought their ability to find some run game was big, was a big deal. And then, yeah, Mahomes, even, you know, some of his throws were just very Mahomesian. But this whole season has elevated him in my mind. I don't see how anybody right now would put anybody ahead of Patrick Mahomes as a quarterback in the NFL. Joe Burrow's really good. Josh Allen, whatever you like. Jalen Hurts is moving up fast. Jalen Hurts proved a lot this year. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. I don't think that's debatable right now.
No, I agree. I mean, look, he's 2-time Super Bowl champion, league MVP. And beyond that, just the plays that he made. It always feels like when they need to have a play, he makes it. Like when they've absolutely got to have one, he makes it. I mean, even last night, him taking off for – what was that run? 26? It was 26-yarder where he's just scurrying down. He's on the bad ankle. And I know that there's some people thinking that he's, like, faking the injury.
Yeah, watch they're showing that replay right now.
Stop that.
That's not faking anything. That was a nasty ugh.
Yeah, I think he was hurting a little bit.
Yeah, they had this thing called needles.
He said he wasn't shot up.
Is that
what
right?
He said.
Okay.
He looked real happy when he went back out there.
He was buzzing pretty hard. No. But there's also this thing called adrenaline. I mean, he was in clear. Yeah, he's not on the bench. They're
probably
showing him
right now.
Yeah.
If I had to guess.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, once he wakes up.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's no faking. Now, again, the whole high ankle sprain, I still have my doubts about that prognosis. But no, he was in pain. He came out there. He's still able to make the plays he made. Yeah, pretty remarkable.
My favorite meme coming from the game last night that's going to be used moving forward, when the camera and the national anthem that Chris Stapleton did flashed to Nick Sirianni, just tears just rolling down his face. That's going to be in a lot of places for a while now. Looking forward to that.
Yes, I've already seen people using that a lot, so yes.
People are using it and saying when Nick Sirianni read the script before the game.
Just a tough one. Tough one last night for Sirianni.
Don't forget, Nick, this is a big moment for you and your script. And then, you know, be really angry about that call late, because we're going to have that call, you know. I got some more support on the text line on the call. So, yeah,
I think
look,
it's about 50-50.
I understand that Bradberry said he tugged the jersey. You know what? Fine. Good for him. I give him credit for going that route. But, where you can all see the play. I'm not going to agree with you. Yeah. That will not happen.
Maddie on the text line says, well, according to Kelsey at the end, no one, not a single one of you, said that they could win. That's from Maddie on the text line. I believe the actual term he used was Nan one. Nan one of you said that you could win.
Nan one?
Nan one.
Interesting. Yeah, well, it's funny because when you just brought up the point you brought up about the AFC West, that actually is kind of a – that I mean, he has a lot more beef than, like, Kirby does, right?
Oh, yeah.
Kirby and the dogs.
Kirby who talked his whole team into – apparently everyone picked him to go 6-6.
Yeah. Because, look, I almost fear going back preseason and hearing some of mine because I wasn't sure. In fact, let's go back to our picks.
Too bad
my laptop got stolen. Because I don't know that I picked the Chiefs to win the division.
I think you picked the Chargers. I think I picked the Chargers.
Yeah. So
I picked the Chiefs.
So, I mean, so Kelsey, did you? So, Kelsey, I mean, he has a fair point, you know. Going into the season, I really wasn't sure. Look, last year, the Chiefs come in here. I mean, it's amazing how things sometimes seem so long ago. It was last season. They came in here, lost 27-3.
Yep.
Looked completely inept. Completely inept.
Well, when you have Dane Cruikshank covering you on the other side of the ball, what do you expect? Travis Kelce couldn't get anything done.
That's true. Maybe the Eagles should have looked at Cruikshank.
Maybe so.
But I mean, the Chiefs, and that's one, if you want to tie this to the Titans a little bit, one thing that, as Corey brought up too, you know, the Chiefs did figure out a way to quickly revamp their offensive line.
Yes.
Which, again, you're not going to do that unless you make good choices. You have to make good choices. You have to draft well. You have to be able to get a Trey Smith in the, what, fifth round?
Sixth.
Sixth round.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. Get a starter in the sixth round, like a really good player. You know, you have to have some luck, but they did figure that out, and that's a big part of this. I mean, the last time they were in this game, they couldn't block a soul.
Well, now, like, to that point, we talked about, like, how long can Kansas City keep this together? Like, right now, Mahomes is scheduled to have a $49 million cap hit next year. Frank Clark's at 28. Chris Jones is at 28. And that doesn't even factor in Orlando Brown, who's their left tackle, who they're going to have to make a decision on. I would assume that something's going to get done with Mahomes and Chris Jones and these other guys to extend it out and bring that cap hit down.
Yep.
But, like we've talked about from the Titans standpoint, you need a left tackle. KC put the tag on Orlando Brown last year. Are they going to try to sign him to a long-term deal now? Like, what does his future look like? Like, somebody, I would assume, is not going to be back with Kansas City next year.
Yeah, because you do have to. I mean, you have to. You have to make some tough decisions. Now, again, can they do a lot of stuff to keep their core together, and then it's just, you know, some mid-level players that I mean, that's the idea, you know. If I was them, that's what I'd be looking at, just try to keep that together. I feel like he's a really important player for them, and they've figured out a way to have a good offensive line, so it'll be interesting to see. But, yeah, they're going to have to get creative.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal score for the Predators tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds back in action tonight at Bridgestone Arena, taking on the Arizona Coyotes. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on 1025-1063, the game. The standings in Preds Pick to Click are as follows. In first place, Robbie Stanley with 13 correct answers. The listeners holding it down in second place with 11. Joe Rexroad in third place with 9 correct answers, and Michelle Knezovic with 7. So I'm just going to say it. I'm starting to create the tiniest bit of separation here in the contest.
Hey, real
tiniest
quick.
Bit of separation.
Before we get into the picks, we haven't acknowledged that Michelle beat you in picks again.
I was going to acknowledge that coming up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good. Well, I'm glad
Michelle did win picks again.
Michelle just repeated.
She did. It was a close matchup. She had 80 points. I had 78.
What did she get?
A dinner for me.
Okay.
And Joe can be along for the ride.
Yes.
He was at 62 points, I think.
How about this, Chase?
Went 5-1 in the end.
He did. All right, with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bobby. Bobby, thanks for calling in. Who's your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Yeah, Robbie, let's go. I was going to go Forsberg, but Michelle told me he's hurt. But let's go Cody Glass. I know y'all have been giving him some love lately, so let's try him tonight.
I like it. Bobby, thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Robbie.
Cody Glass in the competition. So Cody Glass is off the board, playing well lately. As Bobby mentioned there, Philip Forsberg hurt against Philadelphia on Saturday. I would be surprised if he's in there tonight, but we'll wait and see what happens on that front. He is day-to-day with an upper body injury. Michelle Knezovic, you're up next. Cody Glass is off the board. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Well, this is just great. Matt Duchene I will take today.
Going with Matt Duchene, who has scored in both games, Joe, after coming back after the All-Star break.
I was worried that you were going to like go with a deep cut and let Robbie have Duchene.
No, because I... the Vegas game, I overlooked Duchene, and then he was the only goal scorer, so I'm definitely not doing that again.
I did not overlook him in that game. It was fun.
Yes.
All right, Glass and Duchene are off the board. I'm going to go with Roman Josi. I'm going with the captain tonight to score a power play goal. I'll be specific.
Okay.
So Glass, Duchene, Josi off the board. Joe Rexrode, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Let's see. Nino, finally. Nino kind of broke out of his drought.
He did?
Yeah, I'll go there. I'll go Nino.
Nino Niederreiter, the selection from Joe Rexrode. So Glass, Duchene, Josi, and Niederreiter, the picks in Preds Pick to Click, presented by TJ Anderson, homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds in action tonight. They are currently 4 points out of a playoff spot heading into action tonight. They're at 56 points. Minnesota, Colorado, and Calgary all in front of them at 60. So 4 points back at those three teams. You're playing Minnesota later this week. First things first, though, you got to win tonight. Like, the must-win term gets thrown around a lot in an 82-game season. But if you're in a playoff race, you're coming down the stretch here, you got Boston coming up on Thursday, you don't have time if you're the Predators to be losing to the Arizona Coyotes. You need to win the game tonight.
Yeah. This is not negotiable at all. Can't mess around with these games. Almost messed around with the Flyers. Figured it out. But got to generate more offense, which, of course, won't be easy. As long as Forsberg's out for however long that is, but even if Forsberg's out tonight, you got to beat the Coyotes.
Well, I'm interested to see, number one, what does the line shakeup look like? And I will say, we keep talking about it all year, but this does kind of seem like a good opportunity for it. Maybe could today be Philip Tomasino day? I mean,
was it Hines or Poyle? Who said that's definitely, like, basically I asked the question. It was Hines. I asked the question, like, is it just like he's just going to be in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
And he said no.
Right.
So if that's not the plan, here we are on February 13th. You got this big opening in the top six. Why, if it's not him today, then why and when would it be?
That's the thing. Like, you've been waiting for a spot in the top six. Maybe that's today. I don't know. I'm just saying. It would make some sense.
Yes.
We'll see what happens on that front. See what the lineup looks like if Philip Forsberg can't go tonight as well.
Actually, you know what, though? But Sherwood's playing well down there.
He is. Evangelista's playing well down there.
Oh, there you go. Just leapfrog.
Just get on right by him,
right, maybe. To the younger guy. Okay.
I mean, Poyle pretty much confirmed with us last week that, yeah, Evangelista could be up there sometime next year.
Yeah. How about Askarov's bench press of the
awesome.
Net?
Man, it was awesome.
Does this mean he's going to be fun quote and stuff when he's finally up with the big club?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know either, but I like the personality.
Yeah, I've spoken to him before. His English is okay. Like, he's working on that part of it. But, yeah, like the shootout win, I'm going to take the net and bench press it on the ice the other night was awesome. I hope he doesn't lose that when he gets to the NHL. I said it the other day, you know, part of my worst thing in sports was like, hey, let's get some personality in there. Like, the Preds are honoring PK Subban tonight. By the way, he's going to be on Caroline Willie and D-Mace coming up at 12 o'clock, so make sure you tune in for that. But that guy has personality. I like it. Let's get a little bit more personality in the game.
Yes. Shane in the Borough says, you're getting top-line Cole Smith, and you'll like it.
Maybe. We'll see what happens. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, to your point, right now they're having some difficulty generating offense with Forsberg in there. Like, losing him is not a good thing. Like, when he went down the other day in Philly – first off, my immediate concern was like, man, is he all right? Because he didn't look good. I mean, he was wobbling around, and it did not look great. When I saw yesterday it was day-to-day, I think if you're a Predators fan, you kind of breathe a little bit and say, all right, well, that at least sounds like it's not a total disaster with Philip Forsberg. But, I mean, look, he's their best offensive player, and they're struggling to put offense on the board when he's in there. When he's not in there, it's going to be a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. No, it's you want this to be a real short-term thing. And I absolutely – I mean, it was like, boy, if this is a long-term thing – yeah, as much as trouble. And, I mean, at that point, I think they had, like, 7 shots on goal, by the way.
Yeah.
With him in the game. So, got to get that figured out.
Got to get that figured out. And Arizona could be a team that you could do that against. We'll see if they do that tonight at home if you're the Predators. Joe, your final thoughts on the Super Bowl. Kansas City is the champion. And now the NFL offseason officially begins. It looks like the Colts are going to name their coach later today. And then in striking coming from over from Philadelphia, Derek Carr. Over the weekend, it was announced that apparently there was a framework of a trade on the table that New Orleans wanted to put together to get Derek Carr. Contract became a concern, and then Derek Carr basically informed people like, hey, guys, you're not trading me to anybody. I'm going to be a free agent. So the NFL offseason, I guess, unofficially beginning today in the aftermath of the Super Bowl. And then there's Aaron Rodgers taking his darkness retreat starting today, too.
That's right. Yes. Into the dark you go, Aaron. Coming out saying the Titans.
Well, I saw that report over the weekend. It's the Ian Rappaport confirms that Aaron Rodgers will begin his darkness retreat on Monday. Saying, thank God we know that. Thank God we know when he's starting his darkness retreat.
I hope he loaded up on nachos and buffalo chicken dip yesterday to tide him over for the next 4 days. Well, my takeaway from the Super Bowl is it was a bad call, but it doesn't – I mean, the Chiefs won. The Chiefs deserve to win. I think the dynasty talk now is worth having, and Patrick Mahomes, the GOAT talk down the road for him perhaps. I mean, he's on that path. He's tremendous.
Rex Road already looking to unseat Brady. Been retired for 3 weeks.
I'm just saying.
Not looking. Even 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's a heck of a start. I think so. Brady got 2-2, which is 2 regular season MVPs and 2 Super Bowl MVPs in like year 12, I think. It's Mahomes year 6. So now, but you got to stack a lot more on top of this, of course.
Now, granted, Brady had 2 Super Bowl MVPs by like year 4, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
I know what you're talking about. Combined,
the two combined things, yeah. So yeah, I'm just saying, Patrick Mahomes, pretty good start to his career. Not bad.
Joe Montana's gonna be mad. Did you guys see his comments?
No,
what
is
Brady. He's like, I hate it. There was an article with him. I think it was the San Francisco Chronicle.
Okay.
I'll have to find it and send it to you guys. And somebody asked him, you know, how do you feel about like Brady, him being named the GOAT after his retirement? He's like, I hate it.
Really?
Good for you, Joe. Yeah, that's what I like to hear.
Well, salty.
Yeah. I love when these
the
old guys.
The competitiveness is coming out.
Right. Old guys fire back.
I respect it.
You know?
Yeah. And then on Rex Rhodes' quarterback ranking list, it's got Mahomes at 1, Fouts at 2, Brady at 3. He's ready to go after it already.
Well, actually, now that you mention Montana, I mean, he didn't lose in the Super Bowl. Well, I'm just saying.
He did lose a game to not make it there, though.
Alrighty, here we go.
I guess.
That's going to do it for us today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.